But some of us at times go through times of wondering. You know, we want to serve God, we either saved. And I want to look at the subject this morning, the ministry, serving God, following our plans versus His plans. Now, surely we all want His plans to be our plans, but we're in flesh. And sometimes the desire we have over the way we want to go. And it's a learning process. We're going to use in the Word of God the example of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. What better person to learn from? Because when he was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, remember the appearance on the Damascus Road, that he was going to do hurt to the kingdom of God, to arrest more people. And remember, he held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death. So he was on the warpath thinking he was serving God. And in their hearts, we always hopefully want to serve God. But our plans aren't always His plans. And this is such wonderful examples this morning, because he knew the Bible and he knew the writings of Scripture far better probably than anyone else after the Lord had ascended and went to heaven. He had been reared in that. He knew it, didn't understand it. Because without the Holy Ghost come into her heart, we read the Scriptures and we don't understand. But he helps us and enables us to understand the Scriptures. And he was in the learning process to go also, because now he had been saved and been redeemed. And he wasn't accepted by the Jewish community, those that had believed that Jesus died and arose and ascended. Many Jews believe that. And now here comes Saul of Tarsus alone. And it took them a long while, to understand and know that God had put his hand upon them. And then while he and others, Barnabas and many others, were down at Antioch, where God had moved in the mighty revival serving God, then God has some plans. And we're going to look briefly at this and understand in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Those people that want to serve God and want to be in the ministry, and we all are, whether or not you're a preacher or a teacher or a singer, we all have families. You know, may not have children, but you have brothers, sisters, you have parents, you have loved ones, and we're ministers unto the Lord, and we're learning, and we're seeking God. And James taught us that we ought to come before God with humility and thankfulness. And when we seek the Lord, he certainly will be there for us. So first of all, we see a display of the affections of the heart gets God's attention. Now, Saul had been serving God with a pure heart as much as he could. And now he is down in Antioch, and he is displaying to the world and to God a heart of love, a heart of forgiveness for others, how they treated him. And as God is watching and looking at this display of the heart, this is what he says in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And as they, which is Saul and the other ministers, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Because they were displaying a heart of love and gratitude and desire to please the Lord, God says, I can use that kind of person. So he told the church, and they laid their hands upon them, and this is where we get the scripture that God tells the church. He no doubt told Saul and Barnabas, I want to use you, but he told the church to lay their hands upon them and support them, and we look at it and we call it ordaining to the ministry. Now, God ordains, but he uses the church also. So now, because they have displayed the heart of love, then the second thing we want to look at is it's directed by the Holy Ghost. The remainder of that verse said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I have for them to do. Let's look at verses 2 again. They're ministering to the Lord with a heart of gratitude. They're displaying that heart of affection and love, and God picks up on it and knows their heart, of course. So he is the one that directs. He directed the anointing. He directed the supervision, and what else God's going to direct, it's going to be determined by how they keep loving him. So verse 2 in the continuation, it says, "And as they fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto I have called them." Because it's God, the Holy Ghost, that determines what he wants from the church and from these individuals and any individual. And he wants to let us know what we already know. Any work that's going to be accomplished, that's going to mount to something, is directed by the Holy Ghost. Now, we'd like to think that we're saved and we're redeemed and we display that affection and that desire, but we're still in the flesh. And when our plans, and if you're like me, sometimes God blesses, he anoints your work, and you just kind of get a mind and say, okay, then I'll do this, and I'll do that, with the display and with the intent and the desire to keep doing what he wants us to do. But then he has to remind us sometimes that our ways aren't God's way. Even Paul, who was Saul, same person, God changed his name. And even he made mistakes, as we're going to see. But look how it's directed by the Holy Ghost. Verse 3. "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry." God added other people. When you display that heart of affection, and you're directed by the Holy Ghost, and you're sent by the Holy Ghost to do what he wants to do, where he wants you to go, as you want to go, and he will be with you. He speaks to your heart. And God speaks many ways, but he speaks to my heart. He could, if he wanted to, speak to my ears. And I'm thankful he doesn't do that, because sometimes in my ears, I say, huh, what did you say? But when he speaks his heart, I have never had to question. I have never one time had to say, repeat that. It is so clear. The Holy Ghost directs our heart. And when we have that desire to display the love of God in their heart and to serve him and him only and get our way out of the way, then he will prosper our going. But let's turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 16. And as they're going, and we don't have time to look at all the journeying of Paul, because as he is journeying, you remember he's going on what we call the first missionary journey. God uses him to start churches and leave those people with the knowledge of the saving grace of God and let them carry on in his absence. But they too are directed by the Holy Ghost. And they're determined in their hearts individually to serve God. But then along the journey, after the second missionary journey, then Barnabas, who, remember, God said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul," which became Paul, "unto the work." But now as they're headed on to another missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. And Paul says, "No. We had him before, and he left us." And he had that attitude that, "No, I can't use, he said, "someone that has departed and not been willing to go where I think he ought to go." And see, Paul is one of the wisest, best servants, in my opinion, in the Word of God. I love the disciples, but he now has seen Jesus, and he's seen the Lord, and he is determined above most anyone to serve God, but yet he had that display in his heart now, and who knows who's right? God doesn't tell us. So Barnabas chooses someone else, or lets God choose someone else, hopefully. And Paul says, okay, I'm going to separate from you, Barnabas. Barnabas says, I'll separate from you. We have contention between us. We're serving God. You've got contention between you two that's been chosen of God. Yeah. Now, I don't understand that. And God knows directly, and he knows all about it. And you don't understand, and I don't understand, but we have to let God settle those things. Paul, in his heart, thought he was right. Barnabas, in his heart, thought he was right. But let God be the judge. But now we see, because of that, they have two missionaries. Because Paul says, I'll take Silas. Silas, remember, when many of the others were left in, Silas was that true disciple that just loved God also. So now we have two missionary teams serving God. That's good. It was caused by contention between them. I don't understand that. And you don't understand that, so we'll let God be the judge of that. But we're just looking at things, it's God's way versus man's way. And let God be true and every man a liar. But now we want to pick up on this third missionary journey that Paul and Silas are taking. We're going to begin reading in Acts chapter 16 and verse 4. Now, they had done a lot of good, no doubt. Everywhere they went, they were hated and despised. But they were still serving God. Nothing's going to distract them. Nothing's going to detain them. Unless God steps in and says, you're going the wrong way, and I'm going to look at number three at the, he's going to disallow something. I don't understand that either, but it's very clear in the Word of God. He is going to disallow Paul and Silas from preaching the gospel in a particular place. You'll never understand that, but God's right. And God, and you can speculate all you want to. Let's read the text together in chapter 16, verses 4 through 6. God disallows that they not preach the gospel and they, where they were, and maybe they were in the wrong place. Verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them to the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. They're teaching them to follow the way, the only way that God ordained through the disciples, not to deviate, not to be distracted or deterred from the one and the only way, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, Jesus Christ, Son of God. All religions don't believe that. All religion doesn't accept that. But wherever they went, in all these cities, God used them to start these churches. He started churches through them. And as they were proclaiming, stick with the stuff. Don't deviate. Remember, it's a display of the heart, the attitude of the heart. And it is directed by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost don't change. People change. Society changes, but the Holy Ghost's direction does not change. And now it says in verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily, every day, every week, every city they went to, directed by the Holy Ghost. God implanted and he saved people with the right desire to worship him according to the dictates of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden, the word means denied, it means withheld, it means refused. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Remember, the actions people take, the words they say, the places they go, the events of their life, not their own, they're directed by the Holy Ghost. We do not understand, were they somewhere they would not or not supposed to be? Had they missed the will of God in their lives. Every other city they went to, they were allowed to preach. God anointed, God directed, but now it was disallowed. And we can talk about that all we want to, and we can suppose, but you'll never gain farther than you already are. So let's make application to your life and mine. We individually, we because I'm one of you and we're all God's children, no doubt every one of us has plans. And we pray and we ask God, as Paul and Silas were doing, direct our events, direct the messages we preach, direct where we go, how we minister, Lord, direct us. We know if we display in their heart an attitude as a servant, you're going to direct us and you're going to enable us. But then we come to the point in our life when God says, I forbid you to do, I withheld, I refuse to allow you to do that which you thought was right. Now you would think if anything would be right, it would be preaching the word of God where they were. But the Holy Ghost says, no. And so when in our lives we come to a place we think we want to go here, we think we want to do that, we think that we think we're right. And anyone that would think they were right, it would be Paul, because he had been directed and to write much of the New Testament. But you can't question it, and you sure can't question God. God absolutely forbid them to preach a word of God there. Make application of your heart and life. We think we're doing this, we're doing that. But sometimes, and don't question it, when God disallows something in your life and heart, you just keep on keeping on. So this is what they're going to do. Not only are they disallowed to preach where they were, but the next few verses shows that they were detained from going the next way that they thought they wanted to go. If you'll read the account, all these other cities they went to, directed by God, churches planted, the right church, the right gospel, the right teaching, everything is according to what God wants. But all of a sudden, for whatever reason, there again, you can't question what God did with them, because God did right. So we have to come to the place when we think we're going here, we're going to do that. Sometimes God disallows it. Well, let's read verse 7. Not only did he disallow them from preaching the gospel where they were, but he is going to detain them from going the way they wanted to go. In verse 7. And they were come to Cilicia. They essayed, they determined in their heart, with the help they thought of the Holy Ghost, to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. Means suffer them not, restrain. It means would not permit them to go. They'd been going all these years, all these journeys, all these miles. It seems that everywhere, oh yes, they got put in jail, and oh yes, they got beaten, and oh yes, but that didn't deter, detain, distract them. But when the Holy Ghost says, I disallow you to preach the word of God where you are, and I'm going to detain you, I'm going to keep you from going the way you thought was the right way. We can suppose, but we don't know, but we do know a couple of things. Let's keep reading. Because God's right, and sometimes God will allow. And we do know one thing, that God determines our destiny, the end result. The paths we choose as we're going, God directs, and if we follow his plan, and we've already determined by the word of God that his plans aren't always our plans, and just let that go in your heart. He's right, we're wrong. No matter how right we think we are, when he detains, when he disallows, That's the way it's got to be, with no regrets whatsoever. Why? Because the destiny, the future, is determined by the Lord. And it seems to me, you can prove it by the Word of God, that every time He chooses something for us different than what we thought it, it's for our good. We don't always understand that, and I'm sure they didn't understand it at the time either. It could have been many, many things. How He detained it? By just speaking to them? Maybe. Maybe some other things. We don't know. And I think the reason He wouldn't tell us is because God uses many ways in your life and mine. Sometimes He speaks directly to my heart. He has so many times, and He has showed me so many things. And He shows me sometimes, let's read the text together, how the destiny is determined by the Holy Ghost, and it's far better the way He's got it figured out. And we'll see that if it stayed in Asia, if it went the way they want to go, oh, but look, in God's way, it always is much better than it was if you'd have went the way you thought you ought to go. Let's read the text together. We're going to read in verses 8 through 15. They did not question. If they did, we're not told about it, because Paul and Silas knew that God was right. If He disallowed it, that's for my good. If He determined that I was going the wrong way, it's for my good. I'll just follow Him. And they passed by Cilicia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. In the nighttime, God showed him a vision. Now, God's not going to argue with Paul and Silas. He's not going to scold them when He prevented them, when He forbid them. He's not going to do any of that, because now they're in His way, and they stopped instantaneous. When God says no, that means no. And when God says yes, that means yes. And the Bible says when God opens a door, no man can shut it. And when God closes a door, no man can open it. Paul knew that. So he's going God's way, not the way he was going. And it's far better. Look where he's going now, because God can do anything. He showed me, I probably told you this before, but I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, previous church I was pastoring. I had to go to Raleigh, the work I had with Underwriters Laboratory, and there in the middle of the night, he showed me that I would be at a church pastor. He showed me a lot of details about it. And so those details all came to pass. And I knew it was of God. When God shows you something in the night or in the day, you can't question it. You just believe God and go that way. So as he showed him that way, look what Paul and Silas do about it. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored. He sought to. He was seeking after. When God shows him a vision, he forgets, and he's already forgotten it, because God forbid him, God detained him, that's fine. And now when God enables him, he is determined to go that way, to seek after God's way, knowing that would be far better than his way would have been. So he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. When God shows you something, you don't doubt it. I never doubt it, because it's so clear. And just to point out that the way you want to go, think you're in the right way, sometimes God disallows it, and sometimes God detains you and redirects your heart. So now he is going in the way, and we don't have time to look at all the things after that that were accomplished by Paul. Because when you're in God's way and you see the visions, and he can show you many, many different ways, but when he shows you, it'll be so clear you won't doubt it anymore. No doubt Paul and Silas were doubting their ways when they were detained, when they were determined by God not to go that way, I guess they did some praying and seeking. Where did we go wrong? Sometimes God just teaches us lessons. And again, then look what happens, how wonderful it is when they were going on. The destiny God determines far better than anything we could have done on our own anyway. Therefore, loosened from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samathia, and the next day, Neapolis. We didn't mess around with it. We went straightway. When God shows you something, and he knows he shows you, and you know he shows you, then you seek in your heart. You endeavor. You seek it with all your heart to go that way. And straightway, immediately, no more questions asked, he's going with the vision that God gave, and he knows God gave it. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding several days. They were going God's way at the right time, the right course, straight way, waiting on God, not knowing what God's going to do, but knowing God's going to do it. And that's your life and mine. It's God that's directing. It's God that is implanting. It's God that is determining, sometimes disallowing. Sometimes we have to depart our ways, and that's fine. But now look what happens. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wrought to be made, and we sat down and speaking to the woman which resorted thither. God brings people into your life. He brings situations in your life because they were determined. It was the Sabbath day, down by the river, praying and seeking God, knowing that he had sent them there, not knowing the future. We don't know the future either, but we have to know and understand that God's the one that directs. God's the one that determines. God is the one that has all of our future plans. And if he disallows, and if he causes us to do something we don't think we ought to be doing, then he will clear it up real clear. I remember the Sunday, I had been sick for many days and out from pastoring for about 6 weeks because I was in the hospital 35 days with peritonitis, and most people thought I was dying. I did too. I was turning yellow. Everything in my body was failing. But God taught me how to listen. And that's about the second or third greatest thing God ever done to me, is bring me down low and get me to a place where all I could do was listen. I was about too sick to pray. I was too sick to talk. I was not too sick to listen to God. I wouldn't trade that for anything. And then when I came back to the church, Darren hadn't even been called to preach yet, but he was filling in for me. And the first Sunday I got back, I believe, I just sat on the pew, and Darren was up, 26 got saved. And then after business picked up, I was still weak. And so Darren was elected associate, and I decided to take a day off and go back to my home church. Hadn't been there in a long time to preach. And three times that day, God showed me that I was to go to all the state capitals and seven places on the perimeter of our 48 states where he would show me and direct me. I didn't doubt it. I only said, God, I'll go, but I don't know how. And God says, I'm the way. And God enabled me to do all that. I never doubted it. He told me to do it. He did provide a way. I've told you about that before. See, Paul's like that now. He don't know anything except he knows God showed him. And now look what happens. Verse 14. While they were down by the river praying, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attained the things which were spoken of Paul. God has provided an assistant, someone to help. She was already there. And God works like that. He's working through Paul. He's working through Silas. He's working through someone else. And when we're in God's way, and we know that God told us what to do, we endeavor, we seek after, and we go, and we do what God wants us to do, and He provides the means of help. It will always be better than the way we had planned. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. She was all the help they needed that day and that week and that month to sustain them and enable them to go out and do all the business. And we don't have time to look at the next phases of Paul's life. But we know it worked out really good. He went to Europe rather than Asia. And looking through the telescopes of time, I would endeavor to think that most of you and myself and my origin and all my background came from somewhere around Europe. And God knew that. I would say most people in America that God sent those pilgrims over here seeking freedom and seeking a way to worship our God came from that place. And God knew it, and God had prepared. Did Paul understand while he was in Europe? Not at the time. But you see, if you follow God and you realize that the destiny of your future, my future, America's future, our children, grandchildren's future, the destiny belongs to Him. What do? We seek God. We forsake our ways when they're wrong. And when He shows us His path and His way, we endeavor, we seek after. We are going to search what God wants us to do, and He will be there every time, and it will be far better than anything we could ever plan or do. Just one example this morning of serving God our ways versus His ways. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bowed. Please come to the piano and organ and play whatever God wants you to play. I do not know why God had this message on my heart. I don't need to know. But I do know that was a message for this morning. It wasn't mine at all. It was His. But it's for someone here, maybe a lot of someone's, that you're going through a time of you think, this is what I want. This is the way I think. Maybe. But if God shows you something different, go that way. And it may not be the way you had thought it would be. But be content in it. And if you follow Him and follow His vision, it'll be far superior to anything you could even think or hope. Altar is open. You may be searching for God's way in your life right now. You're kind of in the middle. You don't know, should I do this? You got thoughts around, should I do this? I think this is what I want to do, but is it what God wants me to do? Hey, it might help you to know that Paul had that same problem, great man of God. And that great man of God we just saw was disallowed. He was disapproved a couple of times. But it worked out far better than anything he had planned. Forbidden to preach the word of God. Yeah. Forbidden to go to a city where everywhere he had been before was fantastic. And God says, I got a better way. And he was endeavored to find that way, and he did. And look at the results in America today. We don't even know all the great results that came out of that. But if you'll follow God, you don't have to know what's going to happen. You just know that God is directing. And not you. Oh, it's good to be in His way. Lord Jesus, saw the ones that came, you know their hearts. You know my heart. And unfortunately, I do not know my own heart. You told me that. But I do know many times my way is not your way, but I won't my way to be of you. So it won't be my way, it'll be your way. Now help us, Father, to, as Paul did, once he knows, once he has seen directly, he endeavored. He never deviated from that anymore. You blessed and honored it. You told him he was going to Rome, and there he went. And everywhere he went, Father, oh, there was disappointments, and there was beatings, and there was a lot of the bad things went on. But he said, it all happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel, because he had displayed a heart of love. He wanted to be directed by the Holy Ghost. And he was learning, and he learned. We're in that state, and even way behind him, no doubt. We're learning. But we want to follow you, your precepts. We love you so much, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this time together and for your precious word. I know you'll honor it. Forgive us wherein we fail you. And keep teaching us, Lord Jesus. And help us learn and understand. And we know you will. Forgive us when we fail you. In that name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.